You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Talks about in Genesis as God being Jehovah Jireh with Abraham. And he is Jehovah Jireh means God the provider. And that word provide or provision means he saw ahead and he made provision. So he already knows our lives, what we need. He's already gone ahead and made that provision for us. He saw ahead that we would need things and made that provision for us. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going in a different direction tonight and have the honor of breaking the word tonight. And I was going in a little bit of a different direction. And so I was sitting in my office praying yesterday. And I went, no, Lord, And so, because I had to study it out, you know, I already had the other one ready. And so, yeah, so I could use it for another day. Praise the Lord. And Monday morning, I was getting dressed. I was watching the news. And I think it was a Today Show. And they were saying on the Today Show that by, they had one of those experts on there, you know, about life and living and, you know, people's habits and that kind of thing. And so he said that by January 12th of every year, that people who have made resolutions, they've already stopped them by January 12th. And so Monday was the 14th. So I went, wow, we didn't get far into it. We didn't even make 2 weeks, some of us, huh? And so so that just kind of something about that resonated in me. And so I want to encourage you tonight in, you know, if there were some things that in 2018 that you hadn't seen, or if you begun the year, you know, going, I'm going to do better this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do better this year. I am going to exercise on that elliptical that I bought and paid all that money for. And you did it for 3 days. Hallelujah. There's still time. Praise the Lord. other things, you know, that you may have even just started out well. And but, you know, the thing about God is he doesn't stop. He adds to. And so he's not mad at us, and he's made provision for us. So let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. And see how far we get tonight. Praise the Lord. And he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so this is, you know, God admonishing us through the prophet Habakkuk and telling us to look at some things. And so usually towards the end of the year, the previous year, going into the next year, we start looking at our future, looking at how we want things to be and that kind of thing. And so what we do is, you know, we want to see where we're going. So we set goals for ourselves. And then how are we going to accomplish that, which is the method of how we're going to get those goals accomplished. And, you know, when are we going to do it, the timing of it all and all of that. And so I can't address all of that tonight, but what I want to focus on is goals and vision. And so let's turn to Isaiah 46. And, you know, it's important to us. Our future is important to us. What our year is going to look like for a year from now, 5 years from now, how our life is going to look. And so God has taken us on a journey. You know, if we were on a ship, if you got in a ship, some of you probably have taken cruises and stuff, and you got on a cruise and you asked the captain, where are we going? He said, I don't know. You might not want to go. You know, he doesn't have a destination in mind. Oh, we're going to set the seven seas, and you know, well, when are we coming back? We don't know. We're just going. How much fuel you got? I don't know. We just decided we're just going to go out here and float and adrift, you know, and you don't, so you don't want to be adrift on a boat, right? But you don't want your life to be adrift either. I don't want my life to be adrift. And so if you don't aim for anything, that's exactly what you get is nothing. And so we're looking to aim at some things. And so After a noon prayer one day, not long ago, probably like a couple weeks ago, I was sitting, after noon prayer, I went and sat down on my desk, and on the inside of my heart I heard, declare the end from the beginning. Declare the end from the beginning. So we're looking at Isaiah 46:10. And it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Declaring the end from the beginning. The Amplified Classic says, declaring the end and the result from the beginning. And then another translation, the Contemporary English Translation says, in verse 10, from the very beginning, I told you what would happen long before it took place. I kept my word. In the Message, it says, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending would be. All along, letting you in on what is happening, what is going to happen. So he's saying to us, declare the end from the beginning. What does that mean? Look out. So you're here at the end of 2018. Did it look like what you thought in 2017 it would look like? Crickets, man. Nothing. And so here we are at the beginning of a new year, and God works in years. And we see he works through calendars, he works through years, he works through all that kind of stuff, timing and all of that. And so he's concerned about how our year will look. And so he's saying here, declare the end from the beginning. So what does that look like? Look out a year from now, in January in 2020, and what do you want your life to look like this time next year? What do you want to have happen in your life in 2020, a year from now? So declaring the end from the beginning. So looking out ahead, seeing what we want our lives to look like, and then backing up, and how do we execute that? What is the method? What is the timing? What do we do to accomplish that? What do we do to get the result of what we're looking for? So you have to have a goal. You have to have something that you're looking out for. You know, and a lot of times people get caught up with, well, is this my desire? Is it God's desire? You know, well, you know, if it's your desire, if a desire comes up and that means, hey, I'm going to take somebody's spouse, you know that's not a godly desire, right? So you can chunk that one. If a desire comes up, I'm going to go rob a bank. You know that's not a godly desire, so you can let that one go. All right, hallelujah. With God, if we delight ourselves in him, the desires that he gives us the desires of our heart, not only does he make them come to pass, but he puts them in there. Yeah. Amen? And so you're his sheep, you know his voice, and you know how to follow him in that. Hallelujah. And so so declaring the end from the beginning. And then another time, I think I was in here praying, and, you know, just desiring, spending some time with the Lord. And it just came up in my heart. I said, Lord, I'm not hungry for you like I need to be, for the word like I need to be. I'm not thirsting for you like I need to. You know, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm doing that. But, you know, I know that there can be more. Even when we're doing, there's more to be had. Amen. And so, and he said, you know what to do. And it was after he had told me, declaring the end from the beginning. I said, yes, sir, I do. I am hungry for you. I desire the word more than my necessary food. Father, I thank you that I am hungry for the word of God. Father, I thank you that I thirst. And your word says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So I shall be filled. I will be filled with a desire to worship you. I will just be filled with a desire for your word. I'm filled with a desire to pray and spend time in the spirit. I am filled with that. Hallelujah. What am I doing? The result that I want, I'm calling it. Even though presently, right now, it may not look like it, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And so in application of this, I thought this was pretty neat. He gave me this. And so in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. And, you know, he went to the Jordan. John baptized him and all of that. And then right after he was baptized, it said the Spirit led him or drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And so we're going to pick up at verse 16. Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And after he left the wilderness, he went to Galilee and taught there for a while in the synagogue. And then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And it was his custom. So it was Jesus' custom to go to church. Can you imagine that? You may say, well, it's a synagogue. Same thing. Come on. A place of worship. So it was his custom to go there. And it says, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he took closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. So as I'm sitting here meditating on that, it points out to me, or the Holy Spirit is pointing out to me, that he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. When Jesus is reading this, we have no record that he had ever performed a miracle prior to this. But he says he's come to preach to the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, bring liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are oppressed, and he's not done one miracle. So Jesus started to declare what he was going to do in his life. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do these things. And this is what I'm going to do. This is what's going to happen. I'm declaring the end for the beginning. Before he did anything, he said out of his mouth, picked it up out of the Bible, where are we going to find what we're supposed to do? We're going to find it in the Bible. He found it in the scripture, what he was going to do. And then it says that he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, and went and sat down. It's done. And while I was doing this, Holy Spirit, so funny, he said, he dropped the mic. Boom, out of here. He said what he was going to say. He declared what he was going to declare. It's done. It's over with. And then after that, what do we see? Miracles start happening in his ministry. Not once do we see that he did anything prior to him calling the end from the beginning. And when he's called the end from the beginning, we begin to see. Amen. Hallelujah. So he closed the book, and he's preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. Anybody heard anything this year, past year, about the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of double jubilee, the year that we've been set free, set at liberty? Anybody heard anything about that? Hallelujah. And in the year of jubilee, these are the things that happen during that time. Debts are canceled. Slaves are liberated and emancipated. Lost property is returned. Lost goods are restored. All those things that the worms ate are restored to you in the year of Jubilee. And not only did the Lord say the year of Jubilee to us, he said double Jubilee. Hallelujah. And I even think recently, I think it was the first service, pastor said something about, I could think he and the Lord was conversing, and the Lord said, can you do double? And he was like, double? He was like, double jubilee. I'm like, I'm sitting there going, what? I don't know if I can wrap my brain around that. Double jubilee? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Father is saying through Jesus, these things are acceptable to me. These things of the gospel being preached to the poor, healing of the brokenhearted, setting at liberty those that are captives, recovery of sight to the blind. This is acceptable to me in the year of Jubilee. These are the things that you can declare, or I expect to see in your life in the year of Jubilee. The liberty of those who are oppressed, debts being canceled, slaves being liberated, lost property coming back, lost goods coming back. All of those things, I expect to see it. It's acceptable to me to see this in your life in this year. Hallelujah. God's highest and best in our life. Hallelujah. he says is acceptable, and anything less than that is not acceptable to him. Hallelujah. And it shouldn't be acceptable to us either. So I heard this quote from Billy Graham, and he said, a Christian who lives in defeat, a Christian who is not living the blessings of God in the sight of God is a monster, because it is totally alien to what God's vision is for his people. Hallelujah. So a Christian, the very word in that or annotation to that is victory, is liberty, is life. And so a Christian living in defeat is unacceptable to God. According to Billy Graham, he's a monster because it doesn't represent, it's marred. It doesn't look like what God put on Jesus to be acceptable for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So regarding Jubilee, I brought the prophecy that we had from last year. And just to remind you of some things about it, it says, for this is a day of much rejoicing. This is a day of the harvest. This is a day of shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat, shalom, Shabbat, shalom. It's a good day. It's a restful day. It's a day of the Sabbath. It's a day of double jubilee. It's a day of double jubilee. It's an hour that you've entered into. As Israel, as Jerusalem itself will celebrate jubilee, you must... So must you celebrate a jubilee. And that which is the natural shall be in the realm of the spirit. So I boldly proclaim it shall be a double jubilee. It shall be a double jubilee. What has been stolen from you, what has been tried and taken from you, it shall be restored to you. But you must walk with me and you must follow me. I must guide you into the land of plenty. I will guide you into a land of peace and security. For keep your eyes only on me. Listen, and he says, many, 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 many desire. Many desire it. Many desire it's those that listen to me, who hearken unto the voice of my word, who will walk in days of plenty, who will walk in days of heaven upon the earth. It is an hour, and it is a day of great rejoicing. It is a great rejoicing day, as the harvest surely is plenteous. So that's what he said to us in December 2017 regarding 2018. And so I just wanted to say those things to you to remind you of, and he was talking about the harvest there and the harvest coming in. And not even just financially, not just monetarily or materially, but things that we're believing God in our families. Anybody got any harvest in your families that you want to see? People who walk with him for a time that may not be walking with him right now. People who need to walk with him that never walked with him before. And they need Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. We needed Jesus at one time too. But just things of the harvest. And so in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there shall be 4 months and then the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And so last year we were declared that the prodigals are coming home. Those that are walked away from God, they're falling grain. Those who have been hurt by church or whatever, they're coming back home. And we've seen some things happen, and we'll continue to see some things happen. Now, in Habakkuk, it said, let's see if that's where I want to go. Let's go to Mark 4 first. Mark 4, 29. But then the grain reapers, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. And so, again, it's talking about the harvest. He's talking to us in the prophecy that he gave us about harvest, and we're putting in the sickle. That's one of the things we prayed about today, that God would show us, how do we bring the harvest in? How do we minister to the harvest? How do we get them in? And so all a sickle is the tool by which we draw them in. And even just listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he tells you to do things, and other times he tells you to be quiet. Sometimes with our relatives, we probably need to be quiet and let somebody else minister to them. Hallelujah. Y'all got real quiet on that one. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, again, in Habakkuk, he talks about the vision. He talks about writing it down. What has God shown us regarding double jubilee, regarding the harvest, regarding our future, regarding vision that he has for our life? And he said, whatever he's shown us, to write it down. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So where we don't have a direction where we're going, where we're headed, we perish. We're walking around aimlessly. The New King James Version of that says, where there is no revelation, no vision, no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And so he's wanting us to have a vision. He wanted us to have a goal. He wanted us to have a target, a result that we're aiming for, and then be able to execute that by the means of what he tells us to do, the methods he tells us to do it, or the timing he tells us to do it with. And so God doesn't want us perishing. He has a picture for our life. Our Bible is a picture of how God wants our life to turn out. That's why we always refer to it. It's a mirror. And as we're looking in that mirror, we behold in that mirror, our reflection turns into that mirror, of the word. What he says that we are, we, as we are beholding that, that's how we become. Hallelujah. You know, just the simplest version of this, you, some of you who have children or was a child, you know, you had a standard or a vision in your house. Your parents had set a standard of how you would behave and what you would do. And then you would go to somebody else's house, and then you come back, and they say, and you see behavior in them that's strange, that we don't do that here. And you go, where you get that from? Well, at Johnny's house, Xavier's house, they do such and such. He beheld or saw something happening at Xavier or Johnny. We had an usher years ago. His name was Johnny. And so whenever I talked about Johnny getting in trouble, he said, why is Johnny always getting in trouble? And I said, Cleophas. Would Cleophas get in trouble? So I had to stop using Johnny around him because Johnny was always getting in trouble. But they behold something somewhere else. And they thought it was acceptable to bring that back to your house. So they're observing a behavior or a pattern or something like that. Like, well, they do it at such and such house. Well, yeah, we don't do that here. You're going to have to take that back to Cleophas' house. We don't do that here. Well, God has a standard for life for us. And so as we're beholding other things, things we may see in this world, behaviors we may see in this world, standards that were a moral compass for our nation at one time, that's not that way anymore. So what do we do? Do we behold where the world is going? Or do we stick to the standard of the Word of God? Whatever we behold, we become. Whatever we think of, whatever we're meditating on, whatever we look at, we become that thing. And that's why it says that a man becomes what he thinks. A man is what he thinks in Proverbs. And so we have to be careful with this. Where we let it go, where we let it wander. You know, you can sit there and for 3 hours, 6 hours, you know, binge watch, you know, something. And you think, what have I been doing? And then you see something come out of your mouth. Where did that come from? Because you were beholding something. I was beholding something, and, you know, it sprung up. Hallelujah. So we have to watch those things. the Lord has me studying on Romans 12, 1 and 2 that talks about, you know, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And 2 Timothy 1, 7 talks about how to have a spirit of fear, but of love and power of a sound mind. In one translation of a Spanish Bible, it says self-control. Of the mind, self-control. And so, it's a good study. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So he's prepared some things for us. Amen? But we don't want to stop there. In verse 10 it says, but he has revealed them to us. Us who are spiritually alive, those who are born again, that are part of his spirit, part of his family, he's revealed some things to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we know at one time that Adam was alive unto God. God breathed into him. And then at a time, he became disconnected. And so he basically had free downloads, worshiping with God, fellowshipping with God, walking with God in the cool of the day. He exchanged his thoughts with God. And then, that download, so to speak, was cut off in the way that it was given. But God restored that to us. So there was a time when we didn't have revelation like we needed to, or things didn't come as freely. It may have come through the prophet, the priest, or the king. But as far as the individuals were concerned, we didn't have that access as readily anymore. But Jesus, in coming back and restoring that, he brought that connection back for us. So we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And it says that he wants to reveal things to us. What kind of things? Things about your future. Things about this church. Things about where he wants to take us. Things about, you know, this prophecy that he's spoken to us. And so when he speaks to us about those things, you know, when there's certain, you know, different people who God just works with them that way, that they get a prophecy or get a word from the Lord before the beginning of the year. One of those people is Jerry Savelle. If you ever listen to him, usually by October, November of the year, the Lord starts dealing with him. He's not necessarily looking for, but the God just drops something on the inside of him. And so, you know, with our church, a pastor's the same way. He doesn't look for anything necessarily, but God will give him a word for our church. Why is he doing that? God gives us a prophecy because he's, with this prophecy, he's declaring the end from the beginning. In December 2017, God said this prophecy to us. What is he saying? This is what I want your life to look like this year of 2018. I want your life to look like double jubilee. I want your life to look like captives being set free. I want your life to look like blind seeing. I want your life to look at the oppressed being set free, the captives being led out of jail. All those things. I want your stuff restored to you. He said to us, this is what I want your life to look like in 2018. Hallelujah. So he declared the end from the beginning. So in December, he said, okay, here it is. And what you behold, and what do? We rejoice, we dance, we shouted, we we laid hold to some things that God said for us. Some of you, I got to behold and lay hold with you, praise the Lord. I had the honor of doing that and seeing some things. And then some folks are still working on some things. And then he even helped us in that. And I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes, where even before the end of the year of 2018, he's like, don't give up. I got something for you. And so I'm going to read that to you here in just a minute. So when he shows us things, what do? He gave us a word. We wrote it down. What does Habakkuk tell us to do? Write it down. Write the vision down. Romans 4:16 and 8-18. I'm just going to read Romans 17. Well, it talks about Abraham, so I'm going to go in there. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 16. Not to only that which is of the law, so we're the seed, so it's not just of those that are law, but also to them that are of faith. We are the seed that are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. What is this? Calling those things that be not as though they were. The going out ahead and calling the end from the beginning. This is what your life could look like at the end of 2018, is what he's saying to us. Praise the Lord. So, let's see, the New King James of that same verse. I'll read verse 18 before I go there. Slow down. I'm getting excited. Praise the Lord. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So verse 17 in the New King James. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and call those things that be not as though they were. Call those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, Abraham, in the book of Genesis, God started talking to him. And he said, get out from among your kinfolk. Anybody? Get out from among your kinfolk, and I'm going to take you to a land where you know not of. And so when he got to that land, what the Lord said to him was in Genesis, I'm just going to refer to this so you can write these down. Genesis 22, 17. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which of the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Hebrews 11, 12 of the same verse, the fulfillment of it. He's in the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. How would you like God to say that about you? Your body is good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is of the seashore. So what is God saying here? He gave him a picture of what his lineage, his legacy, his life was going to look like. I was down in the Gulf on vacation one time, and so I had gone out to eat, and was coming back to the condo where I was staying, and I thought, well, I'll go and walk out on the beach before I go in. And so I'm standing out there on the seashore and just, you know, enjoying and hearing the waves and all of that. And all of a sudden, this scripture that I just read hit me. I looked up, and I saw stars, as many stars. I don't know that I ever seen that many stars. I mean stars. And then I looked down and saw sand, and I just start bawling. He could not help but have many children. If God gave him that picture for him to look at, to say this is what your life is going to look, he looked up at stars. Wow. Even if you start counting stars, you can't, he can't even count them. You can't even see them. Oh my gosh. And the sand of the seashore, you can't count the speckles of sand on the seashore. All you can do is put your toes in it and take it into your condo with you and try to get it out. But what a picture. So every time he saw stars, every time he saw sand, that's what my life is going to look like. Oh my goodness. So what is he doing? What you behold, you become. What you meditate on, what you think of, you become. So you can't get away from it. Even in the day, if the stars are not out, or you can't see them, they're out, but you can't see them because of the bigger star, you understand? That's your astronomy lesson for today. Zach could probably do a whole lot better than I can. But during the day, what's the picture he has? The sand of the seashore. At night, he's got both. And then you can hardly see the sand at night, you know, depending on the lighting and stuff, but you look up and see the stars. So by day and by night, by day and by night, by day and by night, he is beholding what God is saying that he's going to be. Isn't that something? Jacob. Story's been coming up to me. And, Jacob got the birthright, ran away, went to his mother's land, and hooked up with Laban, his uncle. And so he worked for him for 14 years. He worked 7 years to get the girl that he didn't get. And then he had to work another 7 years to get her. And so he's done with Laban. He wants, I'm out of here. I want to get away. So he makes a deal with Laban, and he says because he's working for him hard. And he's making money for this man. He sees this man is making money. He's going, I need a cut from this. And so what was rightfully due to him. And he said, so if you would give me the stripe, the speckle, and the spotted animals, you know, let those be mine. And you keep the ones that don't have, you know, that are white or, you know, a solid color. So Laban made the deal with him. But what he did was he took all the spotted, all the speckled, all the striped animals away, and he left all the white ones there, or all the plain ones there. And took them off, you know, had them take them away. And so what Jacob does is he gets a reed, and he paints stripes on it, and he puts it on the wall where their feeding trough is. And as they're looking at that trough with the stripes on it, as they're breeding, as the plain ones are breeding, they're having speckled babies. and striped babies and spotted babies. And Laban's like, how in the world is this happening? And so they reversed the deal. And so he's thinking, you know, okay, I got to get over this guy. How's this happening? And then Jacob gets all the plain ones. So he can't win. But what's happening? As they go to feed, they're beholding before them striped, speckled, spotted. And what they're beholding, they become. And so eventually he has to give up and give Jacob what his due was. And then when he let him go, he went after him and gone, you know, my meal ticket has just left me. I'm going after him. But what they beheld, not even what Jacob beheld, what he planned for the animals, which was his right, what was promised to him, what they saw, what they beheld, they became. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, let's see here. I was talking to someone about this yesterday. And in my house, I have a room where I've declared it my office. I go in there and study and work and do bills and whatever else. And but there's an area so where it's located, I call it the upper room. And then there's an area of it where I call the dream theater. We had a guy, some of you know him, Jeff Schroeder. He did our men's conference a few years ago. And he came, I think 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. And he taught on going to God's dream theater. And he talked about as you go into this place of prayer with God, that you're in this place and you're dreaming with him. He's showing you things. And those things that he showed you, again, Habakkuk, write them down. What it says in... he talks about, you know, what you see, what God shows you, what he see, you write it down. What God shows you, you write it down. And so Patty Dunnock came and ministered to our church, I think in 2010, somewhere around there. And when she was here, she talked about how she has a ridiculous list, and she shortened it to ridiculous. And she has those things that are on that list that are totally outrageous, that there is no way could come to pass unless God does it. And so the Lord started dealing with me. I've had a ridiculous for several years, but even last year when he started dealing with me, I was watching Keith Moore, Week of Increase, and he mentioned that this is something that the Lord had he and Phyllis do. So every year what they do is they sit down and they pray and seek the Lord. And they write down everything that they want to give to the Lord. They write down, you know, what they want to do as far as their tithing is concerned. And maybe even, you know, even though it's 10%, maybe add something to that. And then ministries that they want to give to and all of that. And then they write down all of their obligations. Everything they owe, they write it down. And they write down the amount. You want to write down the amount because you never know. Somebody might walk up and go, hey, what's the payoff on your car? You go, hey, here it is right here. Here's a check. You write it off. And so you write down, and then they write down the date they started believing, and then they write down a date of completion, or a place to put where the date of completion. So one year they were doing this, and they went to get up, and the Lord said, sit back down. And so they sat back down. He said, get a clean sheet of paper. And they got a clean sheet of paper. He said, if money was no object, write down the things that you would like to do and the things that you want to do for other people, things you want to do for your family. And some of the things they wrote on there, some things they wanted to do, you know. And he said he looked at a list. They sat there for a little while and looked at it. And he said, it was pitiful. It was pitiful. He said, no wonder the Lord had us write it down because we couldn't do any better than this. And so as the years have gone on, they've added to that list things and seen some things come to pass. And he even said at the Week of Increase this past fall that there was one item that was on their list that had been on there for 20 years that they saw come to pass last year. So just because a year turns over, just because the calendar turns over, doesn't mean that we quit. If he puts it in your heart and a desire in your heart, he's still wanting to bring that thing to pass. Amen? And so that's what I started doing in my life. You know, the Lord stretched me last year in some things. I gave more than I've ever given in my entire life. I gave to more ministries than I've ever given in my entire life. And even this year, he's stretching me some more. And I'm going, you do know that I'm not, you know, I'm elastic. Yeah, I'm glad I'm elastic, but elastic stops at some point. He's stretching me. And I'm glad about it because I'm getting to do some things in my heart that I've wanted to do for years financially, you know, to be able to give. And I'll be able to do some things. So writing things down. So what do you do? I mean, and I don't think it just has to be spiritual things. God wants your desires to come to pass. It's stuff you like. It's things that you want to do. He wants those things to come to pass for you. Amen? And sometimes we won't put things on our list, or we won't say things and confess things because you're going, that's so material, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess who made material? Your daddy. And he didn't make it for the devil and his crowd. He made it for us to enjoy. And he wants to do stuff for you just because you enjoy it. Simply no spiritual value to it whatsoever, just because you lack it.
Yes, that's right.
And you're his kid, and he wants you to be happy. Amen? Hallelujah. So I started writing some stuff down on my list. Things that I want to see, things that I want to do, spiritual things I want to do. What kind of things are you talking about? Well, things like, you know, this is a spiritual thing. I want to read my Bible more. I want to study more. I want to pray more. I want to pray in other tongues more. I want to watch TV less. Read books more. I've got on my ottoman by my chair, I don't know how many books I got stacked up there. I've gotten three in this year already, praise the Lord. So I just to add to myself and build myself up, amen? You know, a greater harvest in your family. You want to see a greater, you might want to go to school and get your degree, your bachelor, your master's, your doctorate degree. We had a gentleman several years ago. Pastor talked about Plan A. He was preaching a sermon called Plan A. And this guy was sitting in the congregation, and he always wanted to go to school to be a nurse. And from that message, he went back to school and got his nursing degree. Wow. And he's working as a nurse now, married with a family, and I think two, maybe three now, beautiful little girls. But it came from just being in here and that desire coming up in him again. And so how do those desires come again? And I'll give you this. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. So in that place of being with him, praying with him, rejoicing with him, worshiping with him, he can download unto you, or you can see pictures of things that he wants you to do. And you can get a picture of something and go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to be able to do that. And I don't know how in the world that could ever come to pass. But who's your daddy?
Amen.
Amen. He made. We just sung about he makes a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. He can make a way for you just because he likes you to have it. In December as well, I talked about this a little earlier. He said to us, surprises and suddenlies. Suddenlies and surprises. There's things he wants to surprise you with. In Job chapter 5, verse 8, in the message, I like this. I got this from Jerry Savelle. Job 5, verse 8 and 9. If I were in your shoes, I'd go straight to God. I throw myself on the mercy of God. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his surprises. He wants to do surprises for you. He wants to do some things for you. So what other things might you want to do? Might want to see some things in your health. A biggie is, you know, losing weight for a lot of people. More than even just losing weight, how do you want to feel in your body? You don't want to have pains. You know, address chronic things that you've been having. Sometimes we live with chronic stuff, and when the big stuff comes, you know, we try to resist that. But start working on the chronic stuff and not living with it. It's not part of your covenant to live with it. Amen? Oh, author ain't supposed to be living in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus paid for Arthur to get out. Praise the Lord. Get more organized. That might be something that you want to do this year. Where am I in my finances? What do I want to tithe? What do I want to give? Places I want to go. You know, I wrote, I've written down 5 places that I want to go before we go to heaven. And it's not my, what do you call that list? It's not my bucket list, because that's the kick the bucket list. So it's not on that, it's on my ridiculous. get out of debt might be something. Things that you want to do for yourself, things you want to do for other people. You might want to have a clean driving record. Those of you who drive up and down 565 or go out on the Arsenal, or you might want, one of your goal might be not to cuss somebody out at gate 9. I don't know. But there may be some things, you know, simple things, and there may be things that you spend time in the presence of God and He downloads on the inside of you. Amen. And so, what if it's God? You know, what if it's just me and not God? You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us, he said he went by just as much as what God didn't say as what God said. So just start walking towards it. You know, the whole book of Acts and Luke were written because he seemed good. It just seemed good to do it. Just start walking that direction. And you've got a Holy Ghost GPS on the inside of you, stop light, red light, green light, and He can tell you. You start walking in a direction, this don't feel quite right. And then you back off of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So what if you didn't see some things in 2018 that you thought you would see? You know, I know some folks who something got started in 2018, and it's completing in 2019. Amen. Some people made the December 31 countdown day. Others may not have. Some may not have seen anything started yet, but they still have desire on. All of us are in different stages. What all that means is we got time. God's still working with us. Hallelujah. And He let us know. On November, the first service, November 18th, 2018, the Lord said this to us through Pastor Mark. And this is a prophecy, and the ushers have some, so if you want this, you can get it from them. But I call this the addendum prophecy. The addendum prophecy is what came up in my heart this afternoon, is because He gave us the prophecy about double jubilee in December 17. And then He gave us this, and He said, "Jubilee, a restoration of all things. Jubilee, a mark that will be on this church until the return of the Lord. Jubilee, an anointing." Ted, can you get the team and come on up? "Jubilee, an anointing that I give thee. Jubilee, a day of restoration, of salvation, of healing, of health, of wholeness, of wealth, of marriages." So even in your marriage, God cares about the restoration of your marriage and things in your families. "Of all things that pertain to you, I will perfect. Years that will be restored to you, things thought lost shall be granted, given unto you as a sign, as a mark of the last days." Jubilee is here to stay. So it didn't end on December 31st. It's here to stay. The Lord is telling us it will be a mark on our church until Jesus comes back. We got time, folks, to get what we're believing God for. Hallelujah. And so it's a mark on our church. So Jubilee is here to stay. So look not to the things around you, but set your eyes on Me alone, for a jubilation and a jubilee day of things yet untold. So rejoice. Have we heard that before? Be glad. So rejoice and be glad. So rejoice. I think He wants us to rejoice and be glad. And be glad. And it says, "Years that have been stolen from you, and you know what, if He'll restore things that have been stolen." So I guess this is Pastor Mark saying this. "Years that have been stolen from you, and you know what? If He'll restore things that have been stolen, He'll keep things from being stolen." Amen, so be it. Hallelujah. And then a couple weeks ago, Pastor Rhonda said something to us. She preached a whole message. And then at the end, she had us rejoicing. Remember that? And Kenneth Copeland said this a couple years ago, and I have just hung on to this. He said, when you pray, you lay hold of things. When you rejoice, you win battles. So when we pray, we lay hold of things. We apprehend those things that Jesus apprehended for us. But when we rejoice, we win some battles.
Hallelujah.
And then the battle may be just in your brain. How can this thing ever happen for me? It's too big. It's too great. It's too whatever. That may be the battle. And you just rejoice and get out of yourself. Amen. And so then in earlier part of last year, the Lord gave me this, and then we're going to do some rejoicing real quick. He said, he gave me the word hasten. On February 14th in noon prayer, again, he gave me this word. And so I wrote this down. Got this word in prayer today, hasten. There are some, these are some of the meanings: to be quick to do something, move or travel currently, to cause something to happen sooner than otherwise it would, accelerate, quicken, precipitate, advance, catalyze. So there's some things you think, man, it would take years to do that. I have a friend who says, her mom says, God can do something in a minute. Amen? He can do something. Things that might take many years to do. I was telling somebody yesterday that this little kid, he's an entrepreneur in the wrong kind of way. Let's just leave it at that. And then he became a part of this program, and he learned skills, and he started turning it the right way. I think he was 14 years old, something like that. He started a business selling candy. He would buy candy wholesale and sell it out of the bathroom of his school. He made $33,000 selling candy out of the bathroom of his school, and then he had 12 employees at three other schools selling candy for him. 14-year-old. Now, years ago, it may take someone a long time to establish a business. God accelerated that in him. He's thinking, you know, $33,000. He's wearing suits, designer suits. And, you know, he got them dressed up and everything. God can do things in a minute. Hallelujah. So catalyze, move at a high speed, excessive speed or urgency, to press, to drive, to urge forward, to move on, to push, to precipitate, to accelerate movement. And then I said, I also believe that this has to do with things we're believing for. Rejoicing will hasten and accelerate those things to come to pass in our lives. Woohoo is what I typed down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the rejoicing, stand up. This is our homework. Guys, go ahead, pass it.
One, two, three, four.
You are.
His goodness. Heaven is all around us. So that means help is all around us. Hallelujah. Declaring the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The vision God gave you. Beholding that. Becoming that which He's declared about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He will never fail you. Never fail you. Never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes in this room, it's easy to rejoice. When you're in here, your brothers and sisters, in a corporate atmosphere, it's easy to rejoice. Something I do, I don't know why, it's just easy for me to do. I get in my car and I crank it up loud. To almost my windows might break out of my car. I crank it up loud. Why am I doing that? Because I want the thing of God to get louder than my thoughts. To get louder than what my body is saying to me. To get louder than what the devil is saying to me, that it's impossible. And I just scream it. I would do this song today. That's why I did that. It's loud in my car. Hallelujah. So it may not be this song. It may be something else that you're rejoicing with, that God is speaking to you. Turn it up loud. Make your neighbors mad. Hallelujah. But let the things of God get louder than what your mind is saying, what the devil is saying, what other people are saying. Hallelujah. So you can be a victor and you can overcome that and stay in a place of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. What I am beholding, I am becoming. I am beholding His glory. And I am becoming more and more in His image. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You possess what God has for you. Amen. And you do it with rejoicing. Loud rejoicing. Amen.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.